And then before we actually begin, let's spend a moment cultivating our motivation. So get in touch with your own heartfelt wish to be happy and be free of suffering. Feel how strong that is in your own heart. And then think that every other living being has that same wish to be happy and not to suffer. So whether it's somebody that you like or someone you dislike, they have that same wish. Whether it's somebody that you think benefits the world or harms the world, they have that same wish, just like you. Whether it's a human being or an insect or an animal, they all have that same wish to be happy and free of suffering. And so let your heart open to really caring about the situation of others. Not in a sentimental way, but just in a way of respecting their wish for happiness and freedom from misery. And wanting to make a contribution, a positive contribution, towards the fulfillment of their wish. So in order to do this, we have to first stop harming them through what we say and do and think, and then direct our efforts to benefiting others in the same way that we would benefit ourselves. And specifically, if we want others to be free of all suffering forever, and if we ourselves want to be free of all suffering forever, then we have to eliminate the causes of our misery. Our own internal ignorance, anger, and attachment, and develop our good qualities, love, compassion, wisdom, and so on. So make the determination to do that yourself for the benefit of all living beings. Cultivate the aspiration to become a fully enlightened Buddha so that you'll have the wisdom, compassion, and skill to really be able to benefit others and yourself most effectively. Generate that intention right now. And then slowly open your eyes and come out of your meditation. I'm very happy to be here at Tushita again. I've had the privilege of teaching at Tushita many times over the years, not only when we've been in this building, but also previous ones. And it's been very nice to see how the center's developed and just see many of you continuing with your Dharma practice and study. That's quite nice. Okay, so I'm supposed to talk about emotional health or emotional balance? Okay, so we don't have to be healthy, we just have to be balanced. is there a difference? You know, the whole question of balance is something interesting, because I think balance necessitates that we have a big view, a very big view. Okay. Most of us walk around all day with quite a small view. Yeah. We have this little periscope on the world, and our little periscope is called me. And so we see everything through the eyes of me, I, my, and mine. Don't you think? Yeah? Even those of us who have been practicing the Dharma for many years, you know, our first thought is me. Now, who do we think about when we first wake up in the morning? Yeah? It's usually something to do with ourselves, isn't it? How can I have some pleasure today? Or how can I be free of this alarm clock that's ringing when I don't want it to ring? You know? So we evaluate and interpret everything in terms of how it affects me, as if we were the center of the universe. Now, of course, we know intellectually we aren't, but we kind of go through our life acting as if we were. Yeah? Because we gauge everything in terms of how it affects me. What does this do to me? Do I get any advantages about this? What do I think about this? What are my opinions about this? What's best for me and the people that I care about the most? How can I get what I want? Okay. So all day long, just thinking about me. No? Here I am, center of the universe. And this puts us in actually quite an unbalanced state with the rest of the world, because there's over 5 billion human beings. I don't know, when we count all the animals and insects, how many living beings there are. And that's just this planet. Forget about the rest of the universe for a while. But, you know, just on this planet, think of how many different, you know, life forms there are, animals and insects and people. And everybody's going around just thinking about me. You know, their own me. Thinking that everybody else should think about their own me. Yeah. I mean, I go around interpreting everything through the eyes of me. And I expect all of you to also realize how important and wonderful I am. Hmm? Do you have the same kind of expectations of the people around you? Hello, out there. Is this an embarrassing question? We are all in the same boat. You don't need to try and pretend. Okay. Well, we all go through our life just, you know, me and... You know, everybody should appreciate me, everybody should love me, everybody should like me, everything should happen the way I want it to happen, I should be successful with everything I do, I'm so talented, and the whole rest of the world should realize that. And when we make mistakes, oh, it's not really a mistake. I didn't have a bad intention. It's just things happened, and people should forgive me. Right? You know, they should be tolerant and compassionate with me and forgive me and not hold grudges against me. Okay? So everything all the time referenced around me. And this is, it really makes us quite unbalanced, because there's the whole rest of the universe with all these gazillions of living beings who all want to be happy and be free of suffering, just like we do. Except in our own heart and mind, all the time, we're just caring much more about one. Yeah? That just coincidentally happens to be me. Okay? So this is a little bit imbalanced. Now, sometimes when we begin to realize how self-centered we are, then our ego does another trip. And it goes, I'm so self-centered, how terrible I am. You know? Oh, nobody else is as worthless as me because I'm so self-centered. You know, I'm the only one on this planet that just thinks about myself all day long. How terrible I am. Do you ever get into that state of mind? Okay. What's that state of mind focused around? Who's the star of that show?
Me.
That one's focused around me too, isn't it? You know, how terrible I am. I can't do anything right. I'm the only one that's so selfish. You know, this is such, I'm such a disaster. That's why nobody loves me, because I'm so selfish. I have been my whole life. Woe is me. Sniff, sniff, sniff. You know, and we get into a big, one of the inmates that I write to, he coined this expression, pity party. Okay, it's a good expression, isn't it? Brian wrote me, he said, I just throw a pity party for myself. Okay, and I really resonated with what he said. I knew exactly what he meant, because I throw pity parties for myself all the time. Yeah, I'm the star of the pity party, you know. I'm everybody's job is to pity me. And then I get really into this, and you can just develop this so much, can't you? When I was a little girl, my parents used to call me Sarah Bernhardt. Now, I didn't know who Sarah Bernhardt was, and some of you, looks like you don't. Sarah Bernhardt's from my parents' generation. So if I'm the dinosaurs, they're like, you know. Sarah Bernhardt was some movie star, maybe in the silent movies or, you know, sometime around there, who everything was like, oh, you know, so emotional, so dramatic. You know, so ever since I was a little girl, they used to call me Sarah Bernhardt. I had no idea what they meant, you know. Later I found out who Sarah Bernhardt was, and I'm scratching my head. I don't act like Sarah Bernhardt, everything's so theatrical. Well, you know what? As I got older, I realized my parents were right. And that, you know, everything's this big deal for me. Everything that happens to me is this big deal. And, you know, and so when I feel bad about myself, that becomes a very big deal too. You know, nobody else has ever made this horrible mistake like me. Nobody else has been so stupid. This whole relationship is ruined because of what I did. You know, I'm so powerful that all by myself I can ruin a whole relationship. Yeah? A little bit conceited, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Because conceit, you see, it goes both ways. Conceit isn't just, you know, I'm the best. Conceit is also I'm the worst. But somehow I am special and unusual, not like everybody else. Okay? So we get into these really unbalanced states of mind like that. And we're so used to it, and we buy into it. We think it's totally true. Yeah? And so that's imbalanced, isn't it? It's like whatever emotion we feel, we believe that it's 100% true and accurate, and we're perceiving the world in the way that it exists out there, objectively, unrelated to us. Okay. That's the way we perceive things, don't you think? You know, when you go into a situation, whatever we perceive, the people that we perceive, the objects we perceive, we believe in everything and that it exists that way. So if we don't like somebody, well, they're a jerk from their own side. Inside of them. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not being prejudiced or biased or opinionated. From their side, something's wrong with them.
Okay? Isn't that the way we look at other people we don't like?
And when there's somebody we do like, oh, that person's wonderful. From their own side, again, having nothing to do with me, they're wonderful. But if we scratch the surface and look a little bit deeper, we find that people are not objectively wonderful or objectively horrible. But our mind makes them that way because we discriminate and describe them in terms of how they relate to me because I'm the center of the universe. Yeah? Right? So we can see this discriminatory process very, very clearly. Okay? So, can I use you for an example? Okay. So, somebody comes into this room and looks at Venerable Yeshe Chodron and says, "Venerable Yeshe Chodron, I counted on you to do this work and you just flaked off on me and you're so unreliable and, you know, you can't do anything right and blah, 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 blah," and just tears her to bits, okay, and criticizes her to bits. You know, I look at it, and, you know, here's poor Yeshe Chodron upset because everybody just blamed her and everything like that. And I say, look, you know, don't get bummed out. These people are just venting on you. They don't really know what they're talking about. You know, you did your best. And so I encourage her. And from my side, I'm not at all bummed out because somebody came and criticized her. Yeah, I'm okay. My mood's fine. But if the same person comes in the room and instead of looking at her and saying, "Yeshe Chodron, you're blah, 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 blah," the same person comes in and says, "Thupten Chodron," and looks at me and says, "You know, I counted on you to do this job and you messed it all up and you don't do anything right and blah, 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 blah." Oh, then that's a very different situation. You know? It's like, who does that person think they are? How can they talk to me that way? This is not right. This is not fair. You know? And I'll get angry. Or I'll do my flip side and I'll go, "Oh, I'm so terrible. Poor me." You know, and do my Sarah Bernhardt trip. Okay? So, you know, if somebody says the exact same words but looks at me and directs them towards me, it's a totally different experience than if they look at her and say those same words to her. Okay? Why is that? It's the same person saying the same thing. Why do I react in two very different ways? And let's say there's a third person in the room, okay? There's some guy over here, Joe, okay? And I don't like Joe. I think Joe's kind of an idiot. So the same person comes in and looks at Joe and says, "Joe, I counted on you to do this project and you didn't do it right and you let me down and you can't do anything right." Then I'm really happy. You know, because somebody agrees with my opinion and they know how terrible he is. Okay? It's the same person saying the same words. With her, I'm neutral. With me, I'm upset. With Joe, right on. Why is that? Why is that? Is that a balanced reaction? Okay? I'm being pretty imbalanced there. Okay? Why? Because I am judging and evaluating everybody based on how they relate to me. And I don't see that I'm creating somebody as a friend. Okay? I'm creating somebody as an enemy. I'm creating somebody as a neutral person. I don't see that, but instead I think that they're that way from their own side and that I'm just perceiving them objectively. Okay. So this is my obscuration. Okay? This is my problem. Okay? Because as long as I have that discriminating mind that gets attached to some people and pushes away other people, as long as I have that mind, everywhere I go, I'm going to be in conflict with people. Okay? Not because they do anything, but because my mind does something to them. Okay? As long as I have the seed of anger in me, I'm going to find somebody to hate. Okay? As long as I have the seed of clinging attachment in me, I'm going to find somebody to cling to. As long as I have the seed of competition in me, I'm going to find somebody to be jealous of, or I'm going to find somebody to be proud over, or I'm going to find somebody to compete with. And it has nothing to do with them, because this is coming from my side. Okay?